Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's OJ's with prayer. Takes us to 13 minutes after one. A very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in onto the second hour of the program. It is Thursday's edition of Heart to Heart, all the way up until 3 o'clock. Whew, I told you that it's going to be a busy one. But as busy as it is, it's fun, it's informative, and probably gonna help you somewhere, somehow. Now, you have probably seen them on TV, on YouTube channels, on podcasts, on Facebook. Yeah, this. I got a power couple in studio today, and I must make a confession even before I say hi to them. My confession is. I'm looking at a bit more. Like, are you afraid of confessions?
I'm scared of confessions. Eh?
All right. So let me first say good afternoon to Pindi and Mo.
Good afternoon.
How are you,
Swan? I'm good. How are you?
God is good. Thank you so much.
So my confession is, I have never really known which one is Pindi, which one is Mo. I watch interviews and I don't really hear someone say, I'm Pindi and Mo. It's Pindi and Mo. And I'm like, my assumption is Pindi is the lady and Mo is the gentleman because of the names.
Exactly.
You see, you got that right.
Exactly.
Angithi mna nawe suka Eastern Cape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so in the Eastern Cape, I would be Pindi.
Yeah, but the confusion, guys. You even find out Bonangam, so that I mean, and you're like, hey?
No, I'm telling you, Pumzile, a guy in the Eastern Cape. Like,
exactly.
How do you even do that?
Exactly.
You know, but I understand. I think we have the same problem in the Eastern Cape.
Uh-huh.
But when you go to KZN, there's no confusion.
Totally different.
There's no confusion.
I'm actually assuming you are from KZN.
Of course.
Oh.
Of course. So we've got a mixture of Eastern Cape and KZN.
And KZN.
Now in Joburg thing happening. So, yeah.
All right. So because Gay, but Mo will agree with me on this one.
Yes.
I'm Xhosa. I needed to know which one was Pindi as well. So it's just Pindi and Ubud Mo. That's
yes.
Just me, unfortunately.
So
we can't help it. From here, we move that way. Anyway, they are... I don't know... call them household brands, but they are definitely forces to be reckoned
wow.
with. We have seen
wow.
them in the ministry of marriage. That's what I want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, I that's how I've gotten to yeah. know you guys. And sometimes awesome. I walk past a clip and I'm like, I have to listen to this one.
and we
have seen generally as the public how you guys have advocated for marriage.
Yes.
Not just marriage. And here's what I've really appreciated. It's as much as you have never diluted your faith, but at the same time, you've been very inclusive to say, look, whether or not you're a Christian, at the end of the day, we're advocating for an institution that is, you know, ordained by God.
Oh, wow.
And that's honestly why I've really appreciated
wow.
your content.
Wow.
So but Mo, and since Pindi, officially, I welcome you to Thursday's edition of Heart to Heart.
You know,
you're
making us tear up here, and that is not the reason we're here. You know, you are so wrong, but anyway.
You're not here to cry.
It is so good to be here, Sisi. Mm. We cannot emphasize how awesome this is.
Yeah.
We're excited to be here. God is good. I'm listening to you introducing us and I'm thinking, it can only be God.
Yeah.
You know, thank you so much. We feel at home. You know, we feel so excited to be here today and spending time with you.
I believe we were going to talk about a particular event that you guys are hosting.
Yes.
But I don't want to take away this aspect that I've been talking about with Mo Wuti. You guys are very big on marriage. I think let's start there.
Yes.
Why? You know, there's a lot of married people and there's a lot of things or ministries within the Christian faith that you guys could have focused on.
Yes.
You could have, not to take away from people that deal with parenting, you could have chosen to go the parenting route.
Yeah.
But you guys decided, you know what? Here's a ministry that we want to invest in. And that's where I want to say you've made names for yourselves in the marriage ministry. Why marriage in particular?
For a number of reasons. At the human level, I come from a family that doesn't really know marriage.
Okay.
Right? And I'm not saying that spitefully, you know, from my family perspective, I honor them a lot. You know, the family I come from, the last marriage, you know, was with my grandfather. Right. And he has had, they have had a number of children, which includes my mother. You know, umchato awubonwa.
Sure.
You know, and then my siblings, you know, same story.
Sure.
You know, so at a human level, there is this thing in me personally about, look, I understand the role that marriage plays. And of course, this has to do with my faith walk.
All right.
You know, but now you look at that and you look at your reality as a human being, as a person.
Okay.
And then you begin to say, no, but surely something is wrong. You know, and then this is when now, when you met Christ, when I met Christ, you know, then, you know, wherein you draw the line.
Yeah.
You know, as it were, and you say it stops.
It stops with me.
Exactly.
Sure.
So my children, you know, my the person I'm going to be with, these are the things we're going to need to discuss beforehand, you know.
So wait. So this decision and this heart started even before you were married.
Absolutely.
It wasn't a matter of, we're now married, we're in a happy marriage,
yes,
let's ride this wave.
No. This is very intentional.
Sure.
The marriage you see between myself and Pindi is very, very intentional. And Pindi met, you know, that, equally met that need, that void, you know, to say, look, this is where she sees herself, you know, as well. And we share that purpose, you know, together. And this is the reason why we've been working in the space as marriage therapists for the past 15 years. You know, we've been married for 20.
You beat me to it. I was about to ask you, how long has this journey been?
We've been married for 20. So at a human level, there is that personal reason. Pindi has her own journey in terms of her upbringing and you know, and so on. However, spiritually, marriage is the first institution that God has created. Before the church, before government, before, so marriage is that first institution. And in the Bible, when it is summarized as a mystery, you know, it is summarized as a mystery, and the same mystery is a mystery that God likens His relationship with the church with.
That always blows my mind.
It's a mystery.
Actually,
it's very mysterious. So it then says we in some way or the other have got to be couples. I'm talking about married people in general. We've got to be couples that when people look at, then they will begin to say, okay, so that's how Christ loves the church. That's how the church respects Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? So we are, in a sense, a mirror.
We're a picture of
what?
We're
a picture. You know, so that becomes scary.
It does.
Because there's a lot of pressure, you know, but at the same time, it becomes something that you like, you want to aspire to. You want to live for something, you know, so that when you leave this earth, you know, there's a mark that you have left, you know, certainly in the space of family. So, Pindi, we share that purpose together.
I think if we were to really have that outlook of marriage, I think we'd respect it more. If we knew that when we fail, we are distorting the picture.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And I think
it's scary.
It's scary. But I mean, for me, Mo just said, obviously, I've got my reasons. For me, marriage is the backbone of society. You know, I have the belief that when we get things right in the home, and in the home beginning in the marriage, you know, when you've got things working in the marriage, things will start working in the family, and things will expand to society. So this being the fundamental sort of backbone of society, then it means we need to get it right. And I think, you know, God never made a mistake by doing this. You know, I always say, even when they say marriage is a mystery, the mystery is God wanted marriage to be that example so that everything else falls from
into place.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And God did not make a mistake with some of the things that were, you know, I always say that, you know, when you look at how God structured things, he knew that I need this to be in this way so that things will be okay. You know, for example, we always find that, you know, when kids are on the streets and, you know, have left homes and all of that, usually when you go back and find out why
started there,
you always, you will never find someone who will say, oh, I left home because my church wasn't this or that, or I left home because my neighbor. It's always, I left because my dad left us. Or I left because my mom died when I was a kid, and therefore I had nobody, you know, looking after me. So
I was in an abusive
home. But it always goes back to the home, you know. Even when people left their homes with two parents being present, but when you dig deep, you find that there was an issue in the family structure that caused whatever for them to leave. So when you get the home right, so our mission, if anything else, I mean, if it's not for anything else, it is to bring people back to what is God's purpose for this. Because when we get this right, we're going to be able to get all of the other things right. But we need to start in the family. And obviously, that's starting in the marriage, you know, between the mom and dad. Because then it will, you know, trickle down to everybody else, you know, below that. So that's really the reason. But I also didn't have a perfect home. I know that he always says mine is perfect, or rather was perfect.
It's a better disaster.
It's a better disaster.
Actually, you know, because every time, and I understand where he comes from, because I think for him, it's because his parents never married.
Okay.
So the disaster is different, right?
Yes.
And mine, they married, yes, but when I was 10 years old, they divorced. So you understand, it's levels.
but what I always say is this Pindi, for somebody who grew up in a marriage, I always say to people, I remember I think it was Tyler, the model.
Singer. Yes,
she always used to say, rather Tyra Banks. She'd always say, I'd rather have a child live from a home that broke before than live in a broken home. And I always say
that's deep.
Growing up for me, growing in a marriage, I always envied children of single parents. I did. This is my truth. I envied them because for me it was a matter of, yes, I think they grow up better because the mom deals with her own demons and they don't affect the children per se.
Yeah.
With all these stories that they tell their children or never having to answer.
And
I'm not belittling the pain that they grow up in. But I would have rather grown up knowing Umama was on her own and that was it.
And that's all you knew.
Than seeing my mom on her own with my dad in the picture.
That
hurt more for me.
Okay.
That from the beginning distorted the whole idea of marriage. And I was like, where am I going? I was a child. But I could see how ugly the picture looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was similar for me because as much as my mom was married, and you can look at it and say, but you grew up in a, you know, mom, dad married. But the picture that I have of my dad is not a picture that
you want
I
to
glorify.
Have.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? And it's not a picture that I have for myself. And I think one of the things that motivated me in the marriage space was to say, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to experience it. I don't want my kids to experience that. Because, I mean, when you grow up in a home with a dad who's a drunkard, you know what I mean? He's there, but he's not there.
But he's not there.
You know, so you kind of feel like, which one is it?
That's why you'd much rather not see him. That's how I was saying, you're like, you know, it's single, you know, my dad ran away or did whatever. He's just not there to hurt me more.
But can I tell you, though, having said all of that, big up to my moms because, you know, we were blessed to have moms who will try their best. When you look at it now, thinking back, you're like, oh, Would I have survived that if I was in that position? Yeah. And I think, you know, our moms have tried their level best, even though they could see, I'm going to disaster.
Yeah.
Mara, your mom will still show up, you know?
Yes, can I just say, you know, the single mom issue, for me, that was actually the trauma, right? Because the issue with me, again, my personal story, is that while my mom was around, she was not around.
So then you had no parent around.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know what I mean? Sure. And I was born to a 16-year-old.
Sure.
You know, and when I say she was not around, I'm not saying that because I blame her. You know, if I'm a 16-year-old,
she didn't even know what is happening.
You know, but in you as a child, because you know this is
your mom.
This is my mom. This is where I come from. To you as a child, you don't look at your mom as a 16-year-old.
There's a desire for mama to be mama.
So and now when you are going to have that, okay, when you are not going to have that, she's not around, and now the other extended family members that you grew up under, they let you know that you don't actually belong to yourself.
Guys, we're laughing now, but it's a hurtful one.
It's trauma. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they let you know. And you grow up in that environment. You become like, if one biscuit is missing, you are the first suspect. You know, if something went wrong, you are the first person they ask. You know what I'm saying? And in a sense, you begin to carry a load as a child that makes you dismissive of a number of things that would otherwise be important.
True.
You know, and this is how children end up in streets. This is how children end up in jail.
Yep.
You know, because you get to that point where you really don't love your life. You know, when the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You really don't love yourself. You know what I'm saying? When I was at Standard 9, right? When I was at Standard 9. Yeah.
That is great.
Telling of your age.
Yeah, when I was in
grade 11.
Yes, when I was in grade 11. Lucas, stop it. So, you know, when I was at grade 11, I went to a retail shop, right? A well-known retail shop selling CDs. You know, I had so much pressure, peer pressure, because that's where I developed my identity. You know, my identity was developed from my friends, the people I go into school with. They have this and they have that, but I don't have. And I stole a CD.
Sure.
Right? I will never forget it. The CD, it was Luther Vandross, Power of Love.
That was
back in 93,
mm-hmm.
right? And man, because I mean, I'm not used to doing this. Somebody saw me doing that, and police came. It became a huge thing, and then I was handcuffed, right? And it's actually my first time talking about this.
Really? Publicly.
I've never talked about this. When I look, who says that?
That's why I'm giving you the look.
I've never, ever spoken about this publicly, right? I was handcuffed, and the embarrassment that I had, this was in a mall, you have to understand, in PE, and walking out from, you know, where you are taken, because they keep you at whatever place in the holding space. Yes.
Okay.
And then you are taken out with police. Sure. You have to walk all the way to the front.
The walk of shame.
The walk of shame.
Yes, Ginger.
In the city. And then go into the back of the police van. And then it happened to be on a Friday. That meant that you're going to spend the weekend in police custody.
No.
Right? As Standard 9, I did that. You know what I'm saying? And this was 1993. And I want to say to you that, you know, there's a role that is played by family.
Family. Yeah.
The love, the security that we provide, the discipline, you know, that is provided at home, that brings a sense of security in a child, so that the child begins to know who they are. Do you get what I'm saying?
And not have to try and be like friends.
No, not have to try and be like friends. Sure. And, but my friend, they have... You see, when we meet together at Standard 9, you know, they have this and they have that. And, you know, and Mina, I'm like...
You desire these things.
Exactly. Hmm. You know what I mean? And everybody, they have something they put on the table and you have nothing to put on the table. Hmm. You know, so I wanted to put a CD on the table.
Yeah,
you know,
to say, guys,
you know,
look what I got.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm saying to you that, you know, the single mother, while I honor single mothers, I honor single parents, period, because the challenges that they go through, you know, to raise kids by themselves that they are not supposed to raise by themselves, you know, they're supposed to raise with somebody else, it's untold, the challenges that they go through.
Yeah.
However, it also goes to show that that is not God's best. That is not God's plan. God's best is for a balance, for a father who is there, who is present, not just present physically, but absent emotionally, you know, but somebody who is wholly present and is there for his children, but at the same time, and the mother who is there as well. And both of us, we play this responsibility, we play this role in raising this child so that this child is balanced, you know, as it were.
I love what you're saying, Putmo, because, you know, I always say, even with, we've got a program called Father's Matter on Monday.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talk about is we deal mostly with the presence of the father figure.
Yeah.
And I've watched how truly, even in our home, my twins are only 19 months now.
Yeah.
But they have a tendency to cry when I'm around. The neighbors the other day said, "Oh, you've arrived," because they started crying. that's how they asked it. What do you do to your kids? And that's because now mommy's around. They know mommy's going to hold me. Mommy's going to. And I will tell you now, as much as I can put my foot down and it stops, there are times where the cry is just constant. Yeah. And I've noticed, especially with Kiamuhetswe, that when daddy comes out the room, she literally, she'll be crying. Oh, daddy walks out, she goes,
So you see what that balance does.
Exactly.
You know, because, oh my word, we always say that God created us men and women different for a reason.
Exactly.
Because that balance that you give that child, because your husband presents or provides a different side that the child requires.
Exactly.
But you also provide a side that a child also requires.
Exactly.
And imagine now raising a child where only one side is represented.
Yep.
So it means, yes, you grow because God is
grooming your child.
Because God is good, you know, you will grow.
Yeah.
But when as a person now, there's that balance emotionally and psychologically that you require as a person.
There are aspects of the other parent that you never
that you long for.
Exactly.
I mean, even when you think when girls start dating, there is research that they start searching for their dads in the men that they are dating, because I didn't have this, but I long for it. So if that man can provide that for me,
then I'm covered.
I'm going there. You know what I mean? So there's also a lot that when you look at dating, you know, where there's a lot of people searching. And it happens for men as well. Sorry.
I was about to say vice versa.
Yeah. It happens for men where someone is searching for their mom. You know, this person represents a mom to me. So I'm going to date and uzo tumunde une type. You know, sometimes I don't type.
It's what you're longing for.
It's what you're longing for. You know,
guys, inadvertently or unbeknownst to us, we are actually explaining that mystery we talked about. That mystery of marriage.
Did.
You know, that we just explained. Because when you talk about the what scholars call the complementarianism, complementarianism of marriage. In other words, where marriage is complementarian, where we are, both of us, we are created equally by God. However, each of us bring differences. All right, that's complementarian. The opposite of that is egalitarian. You know, egalitarian is it says that it's a view that says, nobody brings anything, we're just bringing us, you know. So whether a child is raised by two men is fine, or whether a child is raised by two women is fine. That's egalitarian. You know, but a complementarian marriage is one that says men and women are equal. No one is superior to the other. No one has got a superior DNA to the other. We're all equal, equally created by God to dominate the earth and subdue it and so on. However, we bring different responsibilities and roles, you know, into
that are
the
equally
marriage,
important.
That are equally important. Like none is better than the other. You know what I'm saying? That's complementary. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to raising children and when it comes to relating to one another, you know, we bring that aspect into the thing. When we talk about balance, you know, I bring dead things in the marriage, in the parenting. She brings mom things, know, in the relationship and in the raising of the child. And when you have, and that's why again I want to repeat, this is not to make single parents feel bad, but we're just explaining you know, God's best, how things were from the beginning, you know. Jesus Christ,
how they're meant
that
to be.
Exactly. Jesus said that, you know, when they were asking him about marriage and about divorce. And then they said, is it okay to divorce your wife for anything? And Jesus said it was not so from the beginning. See, so there was
the
a certain way
of it.
Exactly. So no pinning it. That's where we stay. We explain marriage from that perspective about what did God say in the beginning? The law of first mention. What did God say in the beginning about what marriage is? Because therein lies the mystery. Therein lies when the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, he says, for you were in him before the foundation of the world. You know what I'm saying? We, the church, his wife, the bride, was in him, he says, before the foundation of the earth. You get it? Where was Eve when she was? Eve was taken from the man, the Adam. You know, she was there when in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, for let us create man in our own image. It says, let us and let them have dominion. You know, over the fish of the sea. And then it says that, and so God created man in his own image, in his likeness created he male and female created he them. See, male and says male and female created, but Adam at that point was still by himself physically. But Eve was there.
She's been there
so,
from the beginning.
And God said, let them have dominion, let them, look at the plural, let them. But he's speaking to Adam. He's speaking to us. So it's in that thing, Oguti, that there is no one superior between us. There is no man who is superior to a woman and vice versa. She was taken from a side from that purpose, not from the head or from the bottom of the feet. You get what I'm saying? Not to be dominated or she. So she's taken from the side because she's my equal. Do you get what I'm saying? However, her being my equal, we have different responsibilities in marriage. Different responsibilities and roles. See, at work, we work. All right, we have responsibilities. That's work. It's not me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not me. So when we talk about roles and responsibilities in marriage, that's not you. So you can't talk about a head of the home as though that's your function. your identity is that you are a child of God. You know, in fact, the Bible calls you in First Peter. He says, "For you are your wife. You and he says you are co-heirs." With Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? So there is nobody superior to the other. All there is that we've got different function. Again, a complementarian relationship. A relationship that says we are equal, we are the same. However, we have different responsibilities. And that's where oneness comes in. Where he says that for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and the two shall become one. Oneness comes because she brings a difference and I bring a difference.
Mm. Because and together.
Together we form one.
One.
You know, sure. Something that is one, it's something that is made up of two opposite halves, not two similar halves.
Sure.
It's two opposite.
Yeah. It's almost like the other side of the heart meets the other side to form
one.
That's oneness. That's exactly what it is.
You know, it's not sameness. It's not sameness.
Opposite sides. They can't be the same.
Exactly.
But when they come together, they become one thing.
One. You see, but, that's but where the mystery
it all, the mystery, though, and also it's because God is a God of order.
Yeah.
I always say that God is loves excellence.
Yep.
And when God created these roles, in his mind, you know, he wasn't thinking, oh, you're bigger than this person or this one. For him, he was like, how can I create something that will create order? Because in a place where things are not defined, there is confusion. There's chaos. So God did not want to be chaos in a marriage. Because when I'm not sure where I fit in this whole, chances are I'm going to be trying everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure what my role or my responsibility is.
Yeah.
So because we serve a God of order, he was like, I will give functions to this. You become the head so that there is function. You know that you are above the woman. But a good man has Christ above him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like there is no submission that happens, because each person is submitting to the other.
To
so there is that hierarchy, if so to speak. So you will not challenge it if you know that your husband submits to Christ.
To Christ.
Yet.
He's not just doing things because he's prideful.
No.
But he also has someone to account to.
All of us have Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. He says, Jesus said, I only do that which
my Father.
That's the thing.
Yes.
You see,
yes.
the issue is all of us are under authority. All of us.
Yeah.
Guys, this thing, you see, when we allow the world to influence our walk with Christ, our faith, our walk with Christ becomes tainted.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It becomes so tainted that we begin to bring in the world to the word.
Yeah.
We bring in the world.
We dilute what is already there.
And if you're not careful, the world becomes so dominant.
And it creates a
standard.
In
the church, it creates a standard. We would actually look at it because we ourselves are not engaged with the word. So we will look at what the world say and make that a standard. See, and we talk about having a great marriage, you know, and really that's not the standard. The standard is not to have a great marriage.
Yeah.
Because anything we agree it's great, that's great for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? We're not called to have great marriages. We're called to have godly marriages. You see, when you have godly marriages, God becomes the standard, you know, because then both of us, we allow the word of God, we make the word of God to become the final authority in our lives. And that means that it doesn't matter what I think, my personal opinion. It doesn't matter what she thinks, her personal opinion. What matters is what God says, you know, around this issue. And so that we're able to govern our marriages. If we can fix our marriages.
Yeah.
We will fix our country.
Yeah. But also there's stillness that comes with allowing God or using God's template. Because when we use our own template, there's always noise. You know, I always want to have the last word.
Oh, yes.
You know,
oh,
I'm
Lord
also
have mercy.
Here. You know, how about me? You know, type of attitude. But when you allow God's template to be the one that's used in your marriage, there's more stillness. You'll find that there's less fights in your marriage because we are not using our own template.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when we start using ours,
it falls apart.
This is when you realize that actually there's something wrong here that we're doing because you start using your own template instead of going back and saying, what does God say about this area of your life? or of your marriage?
Sure, guys. I must say, I kind of knew this would happen.
Ah, Lucha, I'm so sorry.
But not to this extent. And I think I'm glad we had this type of conversation.
Yeah.
Because this kind of gives a picture of what you guys are about.
Yeah.
And I do believe that not only are you about it now as we sit and talk about it, but also you want to invest into other people's marriages to say, hey, we're not living a perfect life, but I think we can all move together in understanding and really daily discovering what it is that we're in. Because I believe as much as you guys are saying all these things, you're also daily figuring things out, and you're like, yo, okay. Oh. 20 years later, you're like,
listen, it's revelation upon revelation.
The devil has not stopped working.
Yeah.
And he wakes up very early.
Early riser.
Mamela, he is busy, guys.
The devil wakes up very early. The devil wakes up the day you are conceived.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know,
in fact, he has never slept. From the day you were conceived,
the devil wakes up very. When you say, you see, there is something about firstborns.
Yeah,
you see, there's something about firstborns, and with this, I'm not only talking about firstborn physically. You were born first in your family, but if you are somebody, you may be a last born, but if in your bloodline, in your family, you are the only one who went to university,
yes.
In that sense, you become a firstborn.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if in your family you are the only one who is married, in that sense, you become a firstborn.
Yeah.
If you in your family you are the only one who has children, you know, in that sense, you become a firstborn.
Mm.
The devil does not stop working. He wakes up so early going to work that when if you're not careful, your entire purpose will be messed up. Simply because you did not take cognizance of the fact that you have this role that you are playing. In fact, you become, if you like, a standard for your family.
Yeah.
You know, you become that person who you become a there are many people who are providers in their family. They are breadwinners in their families. It's not necessarily the firstborn, but in that sense, because you are the only one working, you know, you become a firstborn. In that, you become an easy target.
Okay.
You know, of the enemy. You cannot, and we are aware, when you say what you're saying about us, Nopindi, we are not blind to the fact that we are the enemy's target.
Yeah.
Of course,
we are
of
not blind.
Course.
Do you realize that in Genesis chapter 2, when the Bible talks about, you know, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. And he says in verse 25, and the man and the woman were both naked, and they were not ashamed.
Yep.
That's end of chapter 2, full stop. Umnandi, it's nice, it's bayamoy, it's lekker, and so on. And you know what? In chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent.
From nowhere.
Absolutely from nowhere. You know, there was no serpent in chapter 2. When we closed the chapter, it was all romantic. It was naked and not ashamed, cleave and become one. And it was all nice.
It was all
this is bone of my bone.
It was intimate.
It was so
intimacy,
nice.
Intimacy, actually. And then suddenly
out of nowhere.
Without even any sign of I'm actually coming for you.
The devil shows up.
Gosh,
you know, the serpent. And he comes, the Bible, he comes, but he does not come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In other words, when the devil shows up, he's not there for
he's
not there to play. You know what I'm saying? So we are fully aware of the fact that the devil hates anything that is created by God, and marriage is that.
It's being one of
being one of them. The devil will ensure that we are figures of kobakobamans, you know, and really make the waters murky, so that there's confusion between the two of you. You fight, there's conflict, and there's this collision, you know, and all of that. And oh my God, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Yeah.
Fam, let's quickly, so we can take a song quickly.
Yeah.
The marriage dance. Let's talk about this. What is it all about? What's happening?
The marriage dance is a marriage seminar.
Oh.
But a marriage seminar with a difference. We are open to unmarried people.
Okay.
Because we are true believers that you don't prepare for marriage in marriage.
Oh.
You prepare for marriage even outside marriage.
Okay.
You know, you don't prepare for a match simply because now you're on the field,
mm-hmm.
and then you start practicing.
Get ready for it.
You know what I mean? You prepare long before a marathon, for example.
Mm.
So same thinking when it comes to marriage.
Mm.
We are here to say, don't prepare for marriage in marriage.
Mm.
And that's why we are having such difficult times in marriage, because we get here and suddenly we're like, what is happening?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You had absolutely no idea what you are getting yourself into.
Mm.
And with such a marriage seminar, we are preparing people before and after.
Okay.
So that when you, before you are married, you get to it, you understand what you are getting yourself into. At the time when you are married, you are able now to start understanding the things that are happening in your marriage. There is no dancing per se. So it's no pressure for the
those
people.
Those who can't dance.
Those who are coming and can't.
Abo luko.
You know what I mean? But we are just using dance to really show similarities between dance and marriage.
Mm.
Because when you look at it, when you are starting dancing in the beginning stages, there's a lot of stepping on each other's toes, mm-hmm. because this is new for all of us.
Yeah.
We don't know whether to, you know, put the leg on the left or your feet on the right and all of that. Same thing in marriage. Mm. When you get into the marriage, you, in the beginning, the first 3 years, they say, you know, this is when you really are at each other's
throats.
Throats, you know, and stepping on each other's toes. And it's very ugly, you know, the first 3 years. But the first 3 years are not defining how your marriage will be. So the same thing, when you're starting to learn to dance, you know, the first 3 months, you kind of feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not good at this. But that is not the time for you to leave.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, because the more you practice, the more you do what your coaches are telling you, the more you, but the more time you spend on the dance floor, the more you become perfect.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's similar with marriage. You know, you don't get out because, oh my gosh, this is the first year, I'm out. This is too much for me.
Mm.
The more you practice, the more you stay together,
you
the better you get. And before you know it, you look back 20 years later and look, yeah, actually, this is not bad.
Yeah, I'm back.
You know? So it's very important, you know, for people to understand. So we go through all of those marriage, dance principles.
Okay.
And we obviously relate them on how they look in your marriage. But it's a very fun.
It's a very fun seminar.
Seminar,
there's lots of music, lots of dancing, choreographed stuff.
Okay.
It's happening at a theater, the South African State Theater, on Friday, the 14th of February.
On Valentine's.
On Valentine's.
We have a date.
And let's go on a date on Friday, this next week Friday. Let's go on a date. And let's have a good time, you know, from 7 o'clock. We have a red carpet thingy going on, 7 to 8. And then 8 o'clock we start.
Mm. So how can we be part of the event?
You become part of the event by buying a ticket for $2.95 at Pick and Pay. Or web ticket.
Okay.
Or you can also go to the South African State Theatre box office. They are available there as well.
So it's at the State Theatre.
It is at the State Theatre.
On Friday the 14th.
Friday the 14th, 7 o'clock. Please, please, please come around. We're going to really, really have a good time.
Yeah.
And instead of going out and spending the money on Valentine's Day,
come spend
your time and invest in your marriage. And the following day, go out. Yeah.
but also, just to add, at the State Theatre, there's a beautiful restaurant.
Oh, there's a restaurant as well.
Where people can actually even phone to book a table.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just say, we're coming to the marriage dance.
Yeah.
Want to book a table at 6 p.m. And you have your dinner, and then
before you go to the event.
But
that's nice.
That has been catered for so that you know, no one feels left out. You don't feel like, oh, I wanted to go have dinner.
Yeah.
You can still have dinner, and you can even have, well, I'm not sure if it's called dinner when you have it late, a late dinner, because they will open until basically the last person leaves.
However, people can follow us on our social media pages.
That's where I wanted to go.
That's where they can get a lot of information. It's more in Pindi everywhere. or more underscore Pindi on Facebook, Twitter, when it's now X. I'm that old school.
TikTok
as well as Instagram. Please go there, and there's all the information that people need there. But importantly, go to Pick and Pay. Buy yourself a ticket, you and your partner. Pindi was saying,
bring a friend.
Bring a friend. Bring your parents, you know, as well. That will also, you know, be cool. But we make the marriage message relevant.
Yeah.
You know, we don't make it something complicated and so on.
Guys, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you, and all the best for next week. Thank you so much. It's been awesome being here.
Absolutely wonderful.
God bless.
Thank you.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.